You're listening to the Whale Scout Podcast with your host, Whitney Neggebauer.
Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is Whitney Neggebauer, and this is the Whale Scout Podcast. Today is October 26th, so happy Cetacean Sunday, everyone. I spent the day out looking for whales more than watching them today, but I guess that's sort of how things go. You know, we had a big storm here last night, and my power was out all night. And then when I woke up, it was still out. And finally, when I was like rolling out of bed, it turned back on, but my phone was dead. And but I did get the report that whales were nearby Seattle and heading south. So I thought, well, I'll jump in my car and head down there. And they were still going south. So I thought, hey, I'll jump on the ferry to Vashon and hope to see them down at Point Robinson, which is one of my favorite places to watch whales. But of course, I got, you know, off the ferry and I'm looking back for the whales and waiting for them to come towards us. And they just turned around and went north the other direction. So I got to hang out with one of my good friends on Vashon Island for a little while and watch rainbows. And then later got back on the ferry and was able to pick them up again at Richmond Beach and watch in the sunshine with a bunch of friends and new friends that I met at the beach. And so that's what I did today. And that's what a lot of other Whale Scout volunteers were doing today also. If you don't already know, we have a network of now 13 volunteers that are out. They've got identifying vests on, educational materials, different things to show you while you're out watching whales. So to know when and where the whales are being watched from our volunteers on shore, you can text follow Whale Scout, and Whale Scout is one word, to 40404, or just turn on your mobile notifications on Twitter when you follow us. And so then we will send you a text notification of where we're at. We'll be like, hey, you know, Michelle is at Alki Beach at 3 o'clock looking for whales. And so you, if you're close by, you can come join us. So that's been a really big accomplishment for Whale Scout as an organization this last 6 months or so. And it's been really exciting getting out there and showing people the whales and encouraging them to participate in stewardship activities and also joining us at habitat restoration events all around the Sound, which brings me back to our last event that we had October 4th with Friends of North Creek Forest. And this was a really fun event. We brought in, I guess, over 30 people. And this time it was different than the spring where we were planting a lot of trees. This time we did a lot of work of removing non-native plants like morning glory vines and blackberries that just take over everything else. So that was really a lot of good work that we did. But what was really cool is that we walked down to North Creek and we were able to watch sockeye salmon swimming just right at our feet up the creek and spawning. And so it was really cool knowing that the work that we were doing to restore the forest was cleaning the water that is going right into North Creek, which is right where those salmon were. And North Creek also is a place where Chinook salmon, which is a favorite of our local endangered killer whales, it has Chinook salmon there as well. So we didn't see any, and I guess we were a little bit late in seeing Chinook salmon, but if it's good for a sockeye, it's good for a Chinook in this case. So that was a really, really fun event. And thanks for everyone that came out. And as always, for North Creek Forest. If you live locally in Bothell, by the way, there's Proposition 1 if you've probably seen on your ballot. And it's what they call like a public spaces proposition. And so Friends of North Creek Forest is trying to get people to vote yes. And voting yes would give them enough money to buy out the remaining parcels of the forest and are able to protect the whole thing. So it's a really big deal locally here in Bothell. In other news, I also wanted to mention the very sad news that the killer whale L120, born to L86, her name is Surprise, has unfortunately gone missing. The scientists estimate that the whale was about 7 weeks old. And so the fact that L-120 was not seen right next to L-86 indicates that it is most likely dead, which is very, very sad. As many of you all know, that our endangered killer whales, southern residents, are facing a lot of threats. And probably the biggest threat is that they're just not getting enough salmon to eat. And there's a lot of research being done that shows that a lot of these mothers aren't eating enough in order to have full-term calves. And so I'm hoping to get another special guest on the podcast to talk all about this, bring in some experts, because I'm not the expert on this, but I'm going to bring in a guest hopefully in the next couple of weeks to talk about some of the threats that are facing our killer whale babies and mothers-to-be. Just this last weekend, myself and some of our Whale Scout volunteers were up in Friday Harbor at a workshop. And this is what they call the gear down, which for us in Puget Sound is really like our gear up workshop, getting ready for whales. But the group called SAM and the Salish Sea Association of Marine Naturalists puts this on in April and in October every year. And so it was really great to see everyone again. And this time they also did what they called as a CAF workshop, a Community Action Looking Forward workshop. So it was a 2-day event this time. Dawn Norn from NOAA was there. She has been on our podcast before. She talked about the 10-year review that NOAA has done and sort of their scientific achievements. Giles and Liz Seeley from the Conservation Canines and Conservation Biology Group with UW was there, and they brought Tucker, the orca poop smelling puppy, which was really neat. You know, a lot of people don't get to see the dog up close, and they did this really cool thing where they brought in a vial, like a test tube of orca scat. And they had someone in the audience hold it, open up the container so that the scent was released. And then Tucker went all around the room trying to find the sample. So it was really neat. There's a video of that on the Whale Scout Facebook page. You can go up and watch and see Tucker in action. And on the second day at this CAF workshop, they showed a trailer of Fragile Waters, which is a movie that is being created right now. And from what I've heard is that it's going to be released at the Friday Harbor Film Festival, which happens in November. So more on that later. But it was really neat. They brought in Eva Salidas and Craig Matkin, who are scientists that have been studying a small group of transient killer whales up in Alaska. And they, unfortunately, when the Exxon Valdez oil spill happened, were seen and photographed swimming through the oil right in front of the oil tanker. It's a very shocking photo. And Eva has written the book Into Great Silence, and she's an incredible writer. I've only just begun to read the book, but at the presentation, sort of Craig would sort of talk about the whales, and then she would take turns back and forth, and she would just read excerpts from her book. And she's one of those scientists that's also just an amazing like poet and writer, and she can really communicate really well through her writing. And sometimes, you know, scientists, there's only so much that science can convey to an audience, but having the poetry and the beautiful writing really I don't know. It really speaks to people. So, read her book and look her up. She's amazing. The population of transient killer whales that the book talks about is started around 22, and now has been. In decline, and there's only 7 of them left. And basically, since the oil spill, there's been no surviving calves that were born. And now there's only 7 animals left, and those animals are not reproducing anymore. And so these whales are basically doomed to extinction. And it's a really, really sad story. And for everyone sitting in the room that has an interest in southern resident killer whales, it's a really big wake-up call, because we've had now 2 years in a row without any surviving calves. Thankfully for us, we still have reproducing males and females. So there is hope, but it was just really great to be able to sort of communicate with those two scientists and really have an eye-opening experience. Also at the workshop, Ken Balcom presented just some graphs about what's going on in the population, showing the number of reproducing females and males, and it sort of led up to these breakout groups where they had the whole room was divided into three different groups, a research group, an education group, and an action taking group. And from those different groups, there were a lot of, you know, brainstorming. There's a lot of brainstorming that happened, and a lot of committees were formed to sort of move forward on those ideas. And so I just wanted to read a few of them. Some of the action-taking people were really interested in making a group that would lobby for the interests of killer whales. And the education group, which I wasn't a part of, but I thought when I heard their ideas, I was like, oh my gosh, these are so great. They're so creative. Sort of using the Adopt an Orca program that the Whale Museum already has in place to also adopt a stream. As again, the main focus of the workshop was to bring back salmon, having sort of like a poster child of the southern resident killer whales, which of course would be Granny, and sort of promoting her as this, you know, the face of the southern resident killer whales. This was really neat. A nesting toy. So like you have like a big killer whale, and then within the killer whale, there's like a salmon. And within that salmon, you open up its belly, and then there's a forage fish, and you go all the way down. And I thought that was a really creative idea. They're trying to get, I think, Ken Balcom to do a TED Talk, which would be really neat. A lot of great exposure. And in the research group had a lot of new ideas for research as well. Winter feeding strategies, forage fish monitoring. We talk about a lot about that in South Puget Sound. Some of the work with Sound Action is they're doing to with Washington Fish and Wildlife to do spawning habitat beach surveys to sort of understand where and when forage fish are spawning. Another really interesting question that they came up with was, you know, out of the salmon that the whales are eating, you know, what proportion of those are hatchery fish versus wild salmon? And that's a really interesting question when it comes down to managing salmon. And it seems like we should already know that, but I guess they weren't clear on it. And maybe from the scat samples that they would be able to sort of tease that apart. But that's a really big question. And so there's a lot of really exciting things coming up. Other events coming up. The Whale Trail has an event this Thursday. Let's see, that would be October 30th. And they are hosting Bruce Stedman, the executive director of Orca Relief. And they're going to be talking about how a protective area for orcas could be developed to help the southern residents recover. And so that is 7 to 8:30 p.m. at CMP Coffee. And it's $5 suggested donation. Tickets at brownpapertickets.com. Of course, the American Cetacean Society Conference is coming up in Newport, California, November 7th through 9th. And it is a bit pricey, but if you're in the area and you want to drop in and see what's going on, there's going to be a lot of different speakers. Ken Balcom's going to be there, but I've also been talking with Uko Gorder, who's the Puget Sound chapter lead, and just really neat acoustics research that's being done where they're starting to understand how baleen whales receive sound. They're going to have a captivity special session. So if you just go to acsonline.org, you can read the lineup there. Another local event, if you ever heard of the movie Damnation, they're going to do a screening for that on November 18th at the Seattle Mountaineers Building, which I believe is on Sand Point. And they do have tickets on Brown Paper Tickets, but the event is free and there's free beer. So that should be pretty exciting. I unfortunately, I won't be able to be there. I'm doing a Whale Scout talk for some Boy Scouts at the exact same time. But if you're in the area and you can go, I recommend going. There's a reception at 6 and movies at 7. And they're going to have a panel discussion featuring David Montgomery, Jim Weddell, who's a retired Army Corps of Engineers project manager, Tom O'Keefe, the Northwest Regional Director of American Whitewater, and Mike Wood, Executive Director of the Cecina River Coalition. And so it's going to be a great event, and I recommend you all go. I think they're also showing the movie at a variety of other locations around the country. So again, the movie is called Damnation. And I wanted to play for you all the trailer of this movie so you guys can get a little bit of a sneak peek for what it's like. I also just bought the movie online. You can buy it on Vimeo or you can rent it. So it's out there. It's easy to watch. And I just put up on the Whale Scout Facebook page, a petition from change.org about removing other dams. And by removing these dams, it's opening up habitat for salmon to spawn. And the more salmon that can get upriver to spawn, the more will come out, hopefully, that will grow up to be big and strong orca food. So here is the trailer.
I don't think FDR ever saw a dam that he didn't think should be built. It just really seemed like a great idea coming out of the Great Depression.
Like all constructed things, dams have a finite lifetime. And you know, a couple decades ago, it was radical in terms of thinking that you could take a dam out. It was unthinkable. You know, go back 50 years, it was legitimately crazy talk. You know, the conversation's changed.
The dams, both of them, were illegal to start with.
Elwha Dam has been achieving nothing for anyone for 50 years.
All of Indian country is here in spirit, and their eyes are focused upon the people of the lower Elwha.
Taking a dam out and opening up a watershed, reconnecting it with the fish that were there for hundreds of thousands of years, I mean, it gives you, hope.
You can take half of a salmon fishery, eat it, and they'll keep replacing themselves. What kind of a species throws that away?
There are 75,000 dams over 3 feet high in the United States. That's the equivalent of building one every day since Thomas Jefferson was the president of the United States.
We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for protection provided by the hydroelectric dams for flood control and producing of cheap electricity.
Completely renewable, minor effects on the environment. As far as I'm concerned, if we had more rivers of this size, we could do more hydropower, it would be the best way to go.
We don't believe there's a big enough benefit to keep them there, and there's a huge benefit by taking them out.
You're asking some nasty questions when you ask about a free-flowing Snake River. It'd be a lot of teardrops of joy to see that river running again.
There's a great good here that belongs to the American people that's being stolen by a very small, corrupt branch of the federal government.
Yeah, I would advocate sabotage, subversion, as a last resort in political means, fam.
Just fine for him to be a dam buster as long as he focuses on the right dams to bust, if you will. And that's not all dams.
Dam removal is happening. It's in the real world. It's happening, and it's not all that crazy anymore.
Well, there you have it. There's the trailer. And so if you can go, I hope you do go. And please stay up to date with what we are doing, whalescout.org, or go to our Facebook page. And, you know, we're like right in the middle right now of whale season in Puget Sound. And, you know, the last few weeks, it's like we've got whales in Puget Sound for a couple days and they go back out and then they're out for a couple days and then we get another, sighting coming in. So It, you know, it's been really exciting, and our volunteers are going out there and they're doing a lot of really great work. So I encourage you to go out there, meet with a volunteer, and stay posted. We're working on planning our next restoration event. And so you have that to look forward to. And again, check out the website, and we will talk to you again very soon. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to the Whale Scout podcast. Your voluntary donation goes toward the recovery of whale species and enhanced whale watching opportunities in the Pacific Northwest. Please visit www.whalescout.org for more information.